from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary, it's time for the podcast As You Stand With Orlando. By joining together and trying to commit 70,000 acts of kindness, it's time for Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep.
Hey, everybody, this is Scoots, and this is where I talk about Sleep With Me Plus and supporting the show. I'm going to try to do this one pretty fast with a couple questions. This only goes out if you're a regular listener to Sleep With Me. So if you're new or the show's just something you listen to every once in a while, this is not important, really. But if you're a regular listener, the question is, does Sleep With Me help you at all, right? Does it help you in a unique way, like help you fall asleep or break up the thoughts or ease of loneliness in the deep, dark night? Distract you from physical sensations, whatever, does it do anything for you? And does the sleep you get or the relief you get make your life any better? And if the answers to those questions are yes, and you can afford to support the show, this is a time when I'm really asking people, hey, what would it be worth to you if we stopped making Sleep With Me? Like, would you pay to get it back? Like, you'd say, if Sleep With Me does make your life better by helping you get to sleep, or it does help you in the deep, dark night feel less alone, or you just like it, and we stopped making it, I said, hey, would you pay for to get back? Like, how much would sleeping be worth to you? Say, hey, let's restart it. Let me put a quarter in the machine. What it does for you be worth to you to say, hey, I really want to get that back? And if the answer is like, hey, yeah, it would be worth $20 to me, or it'd be worth $50 to me, think about supporting the show at Sleep With Me Plus. Even, I mean, obviously, most people support it much less than that, because the show could really use your support right now, and we never have to cross that threshold. So if the show does something for you in a unique way, you like the podcast, and you can afford to support it, just don't wait. Sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. That's sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. Thanks, everybody. Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo, modern management made simple. All right, everybody, it's time to talk about tonight's sponsor, Helix Sleep. Do yourself a favor, go to helixsleep.com/sleep and take that Helix quiz. That was about 4 years ago that I took the Helix quiz, got matched with the Helix Dusk Lux, which is a perfect mattress for me and the way I sleep. Because the thing is, the Helix lineup offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux collection, the newly released Helix Elite collection. They have a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. And how would you know which one is going to fit you and your body? You just take that Helix sleep quiz. You find the perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. That personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new mattress. And here's the thing. Everybody's unique. Everybody sleeps differently. And that is why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from. Each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. You know, if you're like me, I sleep on my stomach and my side. I sleep a hot, so I want to stay cool. And that's what happened. I took the quiz. I got matched with the Helix Dusk Lux. I love my Helix Dusk Lux. And the way I know is every time I leave town, I cannot wait to get back. That first night back in my Helix Dusk Lux, it's like I'm in a state of sleep bliss. Not only is it the best mattress I've slept on, but setup is fast and easy. Helix mattresses are delivered in a box straight to your door for free. And Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep and use the code HELIXPARTNER20. This is their best offer yet. It won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now.
Hey, up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep. Welcome This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do with a bedtime story. What was the other one? Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? I wonder if that pathway is now worn in. I'm not sure. But it is time for Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to do is create a safe place where you could set aside whatever's been keeping you up at night, whether it's thinking, feeling, sensing, outside noises, inside noises, anything. Change in schedule, routine, temperature. You just had a bad day, or as I tell people, sometimes just baffling. Say, I don't know why I can't sleep tonight. Just can't fall asleep. But whatever it is, I think a lot of us that listen to the show, or myself that makes it, or a lot of the people in my brain that live in my brain, we can relate. And that's why I do the show. I send my voice across the deep, dark night because I mean it, because that's how it feels to me a lot of the times. The night feels deep and it feels dark when you're sitting there. And your wheels are spinning and you can't, you know, and you can't get comfortable and there's a path you go down. And it's a path of thoughts and emotions, and it's a path in the deep, dark night. And I guess I try to send my voice across it to say, hey, come over here. It's a little bit less dark over here. Would you believe that the forest of the deep, dark night is right on the edge of the silly forest of Scooter's story swamp brain? And you say, okay, I'm sorry, I think you're mixing up your metaphors. You're not just mixing them up. And I say, yeah, I think I may be. Well, I say, this is more specific. I'm mixing up my story forest-based metaphors. Forest story-based metaphors, you're correct. But it doesn't change the fact that it's actually factual, as one of those musicals would say. Not sure which one, if it was Chitty Chitty Bang Bang or Snowy Poppins. Snowy Poppins. Talk about mixing up my musicals. But so you get this deep forest of the deep, dark night, but right on the edge of it is Scooter's forest of silly stuff, we'll say, to make it easier, less mixed up. And I send my voice. I say, hey, come on over. Just take that path there. I know it's dark. I know it's one of those, you see, and I know the forest is populated by nocturnal creatures that talk in versions of your own voice or voices from your past and your future, and it can be a little bit overwhelming. Because I've been in that forest, but if you follow my voice here, just keep following. You'll be in this forest. It doesn't look that different than the deep, dark night. And actually, overhead, over both these woods, are the deep. It is nighttime. But my forest is a little bit deep. It's a little bit less deep, a little bit less dark, and definitely not dense. I mean, I guess it may be dense in another way, but not as dense as that forest. So just keep coming. Just keep walking that path, and I'll just keep talking, because I'll be creating the forest as you step into it with my, talking. I'll be narrating the forest. A tree, that's the tree god of our forest, also of George R. R. Martin's entire universe. We call him Barky around these parts. Friend of Treebeard, friend of Groot, but also, a tree in its own right, Barky. I guess I didn't realize it, but yes, come on into our forest. You're welcome here. And this is the forest. I can't keep up with your walking and narrating, but that's fine. Just keep walking anyway. In fact, if you stop walking, you're going to notice this is the first forest with 100% organic moving trails, just like at the airport. Our trails are, we call them flowing trails here, trademarked, patent pending. This whole forest is patent pending. But, you just flow along here. And as I talk, I'm going to do a little bit more of this intro, mix up some more metaphors. I'll use lulling, soothing tones. There's some pointless meanders, even though this is a flowing trail. But you're going to notice this as you're out of the deep, dark forest here. And you can lie down. Actually, in this path, actually, it looks like dirt, but it's actually a molded foam base. with you know, stuff, you know, the sleep stuff in there. So you could go, you can even lie down. Or those stumps, those are soft stumps, believe it or not. It's a soft, sleepable stump, a patent pending as well. And over there, you're going to see some moss. And you say, well, I don't know about sleep. Oh, this is marvelous moss here in my little forest. Yeah, this is not even a forest of feelings like the Care Bears lived in the forest of feelings. This is a forest of fumbles. So you just kick back and relax, and I'll just keep talking. I'm going to go into the story, and I'll be here like an hour. Now, if you're new here and you just stumbled your way, you found your way to this podcast or into my story swamp, that's actually where currently is a, you know, woods. It's a metaphorical woods. However you ended up here, welcome, one. And two, it's like clearly if you're listening, you say, well, I can kind of listen to Scoots, and you can listen to me instead of thinking or instead of wandering in the deep, dark night. And maybe even if you're in the deep, dark night, you could just stay there and listen. You say, well, it's maybe I can make the night feel a little bit less cold or a little bit less foreboding. And take some of the pressure off of you to find your way. And you just lie down, because actually I'm doing one of those overlaps. So now both forests are overlapped on one of another. And I'm moving the transparency bars so that they're transparent. So, and now I'm waving my hand magically over the invisible magical screen. And so the transparency has reached into four dimensions. And so now we're both in the deep, dark night and the story swamp, which is actually, and then we're also in the Scooters, you know, Funtime Forest. I think that's what I should have called it the first time. But Scooters Funtime Forest, not too much fun, though, because more, almost near fun, sorry, because we don't want to have too much fun, you know, because I'm going to just kind of take your attention, but you can drift off whenever you wish. But I'll be here the full time, about a full hour, giving it my all. To kind of take your mind off of stuff. So if you can fall asleep whenever you want. You don't have to fall asleep. There's no should. This isn't a tested scientific method where it's like, oh, you should fall. You should have fallen asleep. No, this is like a night offering. You say, well, turn it on. Give it a listen. Chill out. Kick back. Maybe some people even turn it down so they can barely hear my voice. Some people listen to episodes all night, and some people listen to one episode in chunks, and so, you know, whatever works for you. The main thing is here, I want to be your companion, your boar friend, your nighttime storyteller or stelly-teller. Say, what's a stelly-teller? Well, it's when I get mixed up in the middle of a talking sentence, or sentence of talking, I call it a stelly-teller, but that's kind of what it is. I'm not quite a storyteller. I'm a stelly-teller. Like, I guess maybe that is because it's something twilight mixed with something deep, dark night, mixed with something silly. And I guess as heartfelt as I can make it, this is just the best attention as I can muster, is to just distract you and to say, okay, well, I'm not going to think about that other stuff. And you don't even have to choose. You could just kind of listen. You don't have to say, I'm not thinking about that anymore. You could just kind of listen to me, and then ideally my words and my voice kind of drift away from you as well. And you're curled up on that patent-pended marvelous moss, available 2017, from, you know, hopefully a company that I own, you know, that's just not ripping me off. Because then I'll have to say, you know, marvelous moss is a rip-off, you know, I don't want to do that. So you curl up there. And I'll just be here. I'll just be here talking. That's the whole idea of the podcast. If you're new here, give it a couple tries. This podcast does not work for everybody. But I hope it works for you. I appreciate you stopping by. And if you're skeptical because you heard about it from a friend or you read about it somewhere, you just searched and it came up. Yeah, it's a little bit different, a little bit goofy. We'll use that word. More goofy than guru, I guess. And a lot of times I say way more goo and roo. I have a lot of goo and I have a lot of roo. I have actually both kinds of roo too, the R-U-E and the R-R-R-O. I think there was a song, Pickles or something, roo. So yeah, R-O-O, that's a silly word to say, roo, I think, except for kangaroos. I'd say, well, it's not silly, it's my last name. And I say, I'm sorry, excuse me, but it is, you know, it sounds silly. It's not a judgment thing. It's rude. Anyway, so it just lost all the, all the kangaroos that used to listen to this part, you know, holy marsupial. I said, you know, like maybe this podcast is a bit like one of those pouches, the imaginary version, because they hear, from what I hear about the actual marsupial pouches, you say, well, I probably wouldn't want to go into one. But the more plush-based marsupials, they say, I could hop in one of those for sure. So yeah, fantastical marsupials. No, not quite. Pick up, you know, come to Scoots Depot where you can pick up your marvelous moss, whatever we called those logs, lovely logs, and your plush marsupial pouches to sleep in. So that's it. I'm glad you're here, and I really hope I really yearn to help you fall asleep. So thanks for stopping by. Housekeeping. I want to thank Chris Posterson from Sounds Like an Earful, who does the music and edited this episode. Check out his podcast, Sounds Like an Earful. I want to thank Scotty and Jennifer on our artwork. I want to thank Jonathan Mann on the lullabies. You can commission Jonathan for your own song over at jonathanmann.net. We've got a Facebook group at sleepwithmepodcast.com/nods, N-O-D-S. I want to thank our moderators, Sarah and Summer, Laura and Lida, Julie and Jennifer. And that's where all listeners can hang out and talk. And then I want to thank subreddit at sleepwithmepodcast.com/reddit. There's a Latitude and Joe are over there hanging out. And I think that's it. Let's get on with the show.
Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive, where customers who save by switching their home and car save nearly $800 on average. Quote at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary. All right, everybody, it is time to talk about tonight's sponsor, ZocDoc. And I think all of us have that family member that you tend to change the subject or kind of bend the truth around when they start asking, you know, for life updates. Oh, why are you still living at home? Oh, when are you doing this? Oh, what's your job again? And while grinning and bearing it with relatives like that is considered polite, there's no way you should be doing that with your doctor. You know, when you have questions or your doctor's asking you questions about your life, you want to have someone you feel comfortable enough to be honest with. And that's where ZocDoc comes in. ZocDoc is a place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable and actually listen to you. And we're not just talking about a few. We're talking about tens of thousands of doctors, all with verified patient reviews. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. Once you find the doc you want, you can book them immediately. No more waiting awkwardly on hold with a receptionist. And just like I said, we're talking about booking appointments with tens of thousands of top-rated, patient-reviewed, credible doctors and specialists. And you can filter for ones who take your insurance, are located near you, and treat basically any condition you're looking for. And the typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between just 24 to 72 hours. That's it. You can even score same-day appointments. And I love hearing from listeners who have tested out ZocDoc, whether they've gotten new insurance, they've moved to a new area, because they found out the same thing I have, how easy it is to use and how great it is to see all of your options. So we've tested it out. You should too. Go to ZocDoc.com/sleep and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/sleep. 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 Thanks, everybody.
Right, hey, welcome to another episode of Get Bastos. It's a tale of Richard Warren Sears and James Cash Penny's escape from Earth and escape from Earth. Oh, boy. Storyteller malfunction. Well, I guess they did escape from Earth, but that was through the typical human process of no longer being, passing away. then they ended up in, according to the story record, they ended up in purgatory, which they escaped from. James Cashmany, Richard Warren Sears, because they like said, well, one, this is kind of boring. And two, Richard Warren Sears said, I don't know about this Jeff Bezos, founder of Amazon.com. Let's go down there and get him and teach him, you know, about the good old days of retail. As well-intentioned as that idea was, it ended up getting complicated. You know, quest for vengeance turned into a quest for friendship. The three of them became friends. But in the process, they upset the delicate balance of the of hell human relations. And the original hell was de-existed, or I guess I'm not 100% clear anymore, but I think de-exist is the right term, wiped out. Divinely de-existed and divinely nuked could be kind of, well, I guess, no, de-exist is even worse than that. I guess divinely nuked, divinely, you say, I don't think those two words go together. I say, you might be right on that one, but that's the method, the divine method of beyond nuking is de-existence. So I think the hell was de-existed, but they said, I mean, there was more story complication, but this is season one. We're almost at the end of season two. It'll probably take me another 4 or 5 minutes, but they started Hell 2.0. They said, well, we still need, like, let's keep hell going. And then they said, well, geez, we got three brilliant business people. Let's take this hell to the next level and really help humanity. And so then they decided, well, let's see, we got about an equal number of humans on Earth and former humans in hell. Let's do a little matchup system. And they sent everybody, like, in hell, all the, like, residents, not the employees, out to Earth to match up, kind of like a guardian angel. And unfortunately, they just said, well, that should go great. But it didn't, because, I mean, I guess the obvious thing would be like, oh, they were there, you know? So they kind of wreaked havoc on the human population, the conditions on Earth. It left, James and RW to, the only way they could save what was left of humanity was to de-exist most of humanity in the released hell residents. And that severely limited, like, reduced the human population. And once they got everybody de-existed, it was kind of like one outpost of humanity left, which actually flourished in the end and ended up flourishing. And that outpost, ironically enough, it's called Bezos, and it was it became a near utopia as I think centuries went on. And then eventually RW and James Cashmany went back to hell. But by the time they got back to hell, okay, also the supreme beings on sabbaticals during this whole time. I don't know, like, I guess, you know, the 7-day thing. So that's kind of like, you say, well, what is all this hijinks? And I said, well, it's a sabbatical, you know, fallible beings. Or I don't know, lack of fail-safes. I don't have the answers, clearly. Part of me has been on sabbatical since birth. Most of me, common sense sabbatical. But the thing was, they got back to hell 2.0, and Jif had been running things in their set. He said, we just got our shutdown papers. They're shutting hell down, the Holy Council of Angels. One, because the only humans left are in that near utopia. So they're not doing anything that would get them busted. And then two, they said, well, why would we, this is a whole mess down here. We didn't even sanction Hell 2.0. You know, the rest of humanity is gone, so you have no work. Plus, it's kind of like it's hijinks. When the Supreme Being gets back, it's a cover-up for sure. I don't think they would use that vocabulary, the angels, but. So he said, we're going to shut you down because you don't have it. And they said, well, let us try to get some humans in here. So then then Richard Warren Sears and James Cashmany headed to the near utopia, called Bezos. and said, well, it's a near utopia. These are human beings. There's got to be some sinning going on, some hell-worthy acts. And if not, we'll stir it up. And then thus far, they've been in Bessos this whole season. And I'm beginning to come, if I was confused about sin and hell before, and I said, you're the storyteller. I said, oof. I said, don't get into this stuff. It is wicked confusing. No wonder I couldn't finish any of those other books by the more intelligent, you know, I said, I don't get. But they went there to the new utopia to try to find stuff. Ended up, they said, well, let's see, thus far this season, they got to hell, they got to Bessos from hell. They kind of got sequestered. They tried to meet people. They met some people. The people said, it's pretty good here. You just choose to live here. You choose to be a part of this society. And it all, you know, we depend on each other, one another, I think, not each other. RW said, well, you just don't know enough about sin. Once you find out about it, you're going to love it. So then they tried, they said, well, we'll do a play about sin. So they started doing that. Meanwhile, stuff at hell was accelerating, and the angels were like, maybe we should shut down hell and earth while the supreme being's on sabbatical, so that when the supreme being gets back, they will not freak out. And I guess they say that might be fallible. No offense. If any angels are listening, this is a work of fiction. I mean, I guess I believe, unfortunately, based on the most cropped together, but that's my problem, right, angels? I'll deal with that. Don't worry. I mean, most of these are my, you know, this whole podcast is my issues. Believe I'm ready. I'm not ready to answer for it, but I'm ready to fight or flight around answering for it. So I'll be avoiding it till the inevitable day you can, you know. But until that day, I got to get through this intro, or this isn't even an intro. This is a setup. And that's probably what I'll say on that day. I'll say, but anyway, back to the story part. So they said, the angel said, well, we're going to shut down earth and hell, or de-exist it. So then they said, well, geez, we got to save humanity. And so then they said, what better way to save humanity than by lying and saying that we're having a play and God is attending the play, the supreme being. We'll use God just to make it more efficient. Here, and they said, God's going to come to the play, and the angel said, really? I don't know. But then they're like, well, oh boy, if that's true, that's not good, because we can't de-exist God. I mean, that would even further complicate. I mean, I don't even know if I would have to get Hawking and Tyson and everybody. I don't even think I could. I didn't need a team of super scientists. And a team of metaphysicists, and I say, well, no, no, this is, we're here to help you. Okay, just lie back down in your cot. And they say, when's Neil coming? And I say, oh, Dr. Neil? Dr. Neil will be here for pill call. Okay, well, I got to finish my podcast intro. I'll say, okay, go ahead, go do that. That's good for you. Sorry, I fugue stated. I just had a story panic attack, you know. But so they said, God's coming to play. So then the angel said, well, we better investigate if this is a lie or not. I mean, who would lie to an angel? Well, one, who would lie to an angel? And then two, who would take it? Who would make up fiction where there's characters lying to angels? And three, could you give me your honest advice? Who's in more trouble? And then should I just start practicing lying to angels in anticipation of the... But that's my, again, I don't know. I guess my ego's going wild here. Another mark against me. But so the angels are now at Bessos, and they started this trial and about sin and about, I don't know. I guess the basic setup is that right now, I think the narrator will set up the actual physical setting. But right now, I guess this issue is still, you have the angels who say, well, we should just get rid of hell and earth, unless we're going to get caught red-handed by God, or angel-handed. I don't know what color angels. Do angels have hands? But angel-handed by God.
So they're like, are we going to be in trouble or should we just sweep this whole thing under the cosmic rug? Two, for Richard Warren Sears and James Cashpenny, can they save humanity? Or Richard Warren Sears wants to do it by finding a way to get humans to embrace sin once again. James Cashpenny seems to want to get people to be afraid and say, well, if you have fear of something concrete, that will get you on the straight and narrow. And maybe maintain this already near. I think that's a James Cashpenny and this other character, Malik. They believe that because humans are so afraid, or were once over these hundreds of years since the end of the humanity that we're existing in, that fear enabled humanity to flourish in one utopia. So I guess James Cashpenny's like, let's figure out a way to keep these people afraid so that they can work together. Wow, humanity's really not, whew. I mean, at least the angels kind of look worse than us at this point. And again, yes, this is all falls on the storyteller. I guess, man, I'm never going to get out of this one. I might as well be in the eye of a camel or in the needle. I might as well be riding a camel through the eye of a needle. But that's what that would be instead of being wicked confused, that would be wicked rich. Yeah, what fate beholds a wickedly confused storyteller? Confused with wickedness, you're correct, internal angels. So that's kind of where we left off, out on a plane, debating those kind of two viewpoints. And I guess that's it. Welcome to another episode of Get Bezos. Well, hi, everybody. This is the narrator. They talk about too much soda. Somebody had an RC Cola before they recorded. Oh, boy. But welcome back. I'm glad to be here as your narrator. I'm so proud to be doing the work of the narration. And thanks for having me. And I want to set things up. When we last left off, a team of angels, a cadre, is that, what do we say, a host? Richard Warren Sears had come in with a host of angels. I think that's how you refer to them. The Podman would probably be like, well, are they like crows, like a murder of angels? And I said, don't say that out loud. You know, I only have existence as long as you do, Podman. He always says, no, you're recorded. You're ones and zeros, so you're good. It's me. He's always worried about himself, I guess. And I say, but you don't back anything up correctly. So how can I guarantee I'm going to make it? And he said, well, just in case someone accidentally downloaded it onto a device. Out here and outside the outskirts of Bezos is this great plane. And this host of heavenly angels came with Richard Warren Sears. And a large population of the people of Bezos were there for this trial part of the episode. And James was making a speech, and people were speaking, and then RW showed up with these angels. But then out on the distance of the plane, there came charging a centaur, I think they're called, a horseman. Bearded and horny, you know, horseman, as they're known, with horns on their head, you know, maybe. And usually their beards are, I believe, they're twisted and horn-like. I may be getting my, what's those creatures called? Those goat creatures. I may be getting them mixed up. Are those pans, P-A-Ns? But charging down the plane was a centaur, and everyone's attention went there, and the angels, they started to murmur and charge. I don't know if they have angel-based weapon systems, but that's where we pick things up. And as the centaur gets closer and everyone's attention is on the plane, you see behind the centaur a line of dust. And then beyond the centaur, hundreds of yards, you know, like a thin jet trail of dust. But then a wall of dust beyond that looks like a charging horde of creatures or something. But as the charging gets closer,
We hear the yell, and I won't do it here because I know this is a sleep podcast, but we hear the yell of two men riding on the back of the horseman. And also the horseman, like a low-level guttural growl because they're holding on by his manes, this giant hair. I think maybe even his upper chest hair. I think Jif and Skiffy, Plate Glass, are riding the back of the horseman. And they're charging in, and everyone is speechless. And James Cashpenny and Richard Warren Sears head to the front of the group of people massed on the plain. To our right side, if we're facing the charging horseman, might be Chiron. I think that was the leader. To our right side is the host of angels. I don't think it is a stereotype. They're just this, it's whiteness. No. Diverse angels, very diverse. So just so you know. But not diverse in their outfits. I think they probably dressed for the occasion for intimidation. Like, when I say how intimidating are white robes? Pretty intimidating, I'll tell you. Reflecting the light, pristine. And almost glowing. So almost I'd say, well, is that white or blue? Like it almost looks like a little bluish. But we've got this horseman charging at us. Richard Warren Sears and James Cashpenny step to the front. As the horseman reaches, he does a fancy slide dirt kick turn, skid out move. And the dust sprays on some of the angels, but it almost is repulsed by some beam of cleanliness that you might see on a commercial for a major home product or some such thing. And then I'll just hand you off to the story. Thanks, everybody.
Oh, boy.
Chiron, what do you got? Jif, Blake Glass, get off the back of Chiron, what are you doing here? I don't know what you guys are thinking. We're in the middle of a case for sin. I mean, not the play part. We're actually in a case for sin. Oh, Richie, it's so good to see you. Oh, no, don't come near me. Actually, Blake Glass, I could use one more witness. Oh, yes, angels. These are the angels. This is Blake Glass. I think the brawny angels here somewhere at Blake Glass, but I was thinking, what if I could, would you want to work with my case for sin? Would you want to be on my legal team? Oh, Mr. Sears, what's the legal team? Would you like to see Megaria again? I think I could arrange for that with the angels. Couldn't we, angels? They're not speaking. I think they're in some sort of meditative state, even though they're looking at us. But yeah, I think, would you like to join my legal team and see Megaria, or at least talk to her boyfriend and see if they're actually still dating? Oh, Mr. Penny, I'd love to. Okay, just go over there and stand by the angels, not too close, so. Jif, would you like to work with me and the angels, or James by himself? I'm assuming, Chiron, you and Jif brought you all here to come. It's a perfect timing for you to join those of you that have been employed in heaven. I think, Chiron, that you did get a job. It's good the angels are here. They could just take you all with you. And then they can de-exist hell. So it'll be no longer needed. As I think we're going to come up with a new, I don't know, we're going to make a case for sin here, and we'll see if there's any takers. Ideally, there will be, because we don't want to have to right, people of Bessos, I guess this is out of order, Your Honor. I don't think the judge can compute angels, James and Chiron. Chiron, did some of your beard hair get caught in the... Oh, Chiron's riding back to that giant... James, is that giant bank of mist out there? Richie, it's dirt. Is it that giant bank of dirt out there, is that your people? Oh, Chiron rode back there. I would assume it is. Jif, is that what's out there? All of the hell to give themselves up to angels? Mr. Penny, I'm not... Wait a second. Is my son here? Is my son here? Oh, yeah. He works for James, though. Malik. Oh, my.
It's my boy. Oh, okay. You're going to run off to your son. Great. Oh, they're hugging. Well, that's nice. Anyway, James, I guess we should get back to the trial. The only problem is, Richie, what are you doing? What are you doing? I'm reacting to the fact that you showed up with angels and a few seconds later, it looks like Chiron and Jif and Skiffy showed up from with everybody from hell, right, to give themselves up. I don't, Richie, I think we're not worried about right and wrong here. We're trying to help these people of Bessos. What is with the angels? They're the ones that are going to take everything out. That's right, James. I want you to meet Kim here. She is in charge of it. Come on over, Kim. This is Angel Kim. And she's actually in charge of the existence team of angels. Not the team that decides it. That's, I guess, or are you, Kim? I'm sorry, Richie. So is Earth getting de-existed, Kim? Richie, have you decided to get rid of Earth? I'll speak for the angels, Kim, and you could just correct me. Thank you. Well, Richie, no, it's time to choose. It's time for the people of Bessos to choose, and I just want them to see, you know, powerful host of angels. Hopefully they choose sin, and, you know, we can get things back going again. We'll get hell going again. They saw Chiron, but that's when have you rested your case yet, James? Richie, I guess I'm still speechless. I thought we were going to give the people of Bessos a chance. I actually still am not sure what originally happened. I was just trying to deal with the mess you were making. And then I was hoping we could resolve it. And now you have someone with the de-existence team here? So Kim's with the de-existence team. Now, Kim, are you definitely de-existing Earth, or has that been decided yet? I'm sorry, you're more concerned with having the hell on Earth. Well, no, those are just the employees of hell. It's not that big a deal. We mean definite de-existence. No, Kim. Once you see how the humans embrace sin, and once all the, you know, that they're ready to go to heaven and work for you, you don't need to de-exist any humans. No. We're going to get this. Everything's going to resolve. What do you mean you have to start de-existing the Hellions now that they're on Earth? You've got to consult your prophecy team. Okay, go ahead, Ada. Richie, do you see what's happening now? James, you're complicating things. No, you're losing control of a situation that you never had control of in the first place. Why did you bring these angels here? Because I wanted that, because I knew God, I thought God would be here. I don't know. I thought it was a good idea. I think it's for my case. I need to still make my case. What better case for sin than having angels to contrast, James? That's exactly what I was thinking. Okay, well, the angels are getting ready to... Okay, excuse me, Kim. Kim, so you're some sort of angel warrior, actually. The existence is just a polite term. Okay. What are you and your team getting ready to do? To do battle? No. No one here from hell is here to do battle of any kind. Well, who's here from hell? I think everybody. You do. Jif, are you done? Hey, Malik. Hey, Jif. Good to see you hugging and so much. That's love, angels. See, humanity still has the ability to love one another. What do you mean that's an aberration? Oh, because Jif's not human anymore? Well, he is. He's just never passed away, even though he's like 500 years old or something. Anyway, Jif, who did you bring everyone? Oh, yeah, Mr. Benny. Okay, yeah, so we got everybody. We got there wasn't that many people left. So we have the giants and, you know, the Titan types. You know, Minotaur's probably there. The Furies you have, but the Harpies, right? Richie, you know the Harpies? Oh, yeah, the Harpies. I can sense them. Yeah, so the Harpies, you probably have the Malabranche, you know, the ones with the nails, the hilarious We actually don't refer to them by a group. We call everyone by their name. And, of course, the centaurs, that's probably it, ain't it? But anyway, I don't think you need to do battle with them. Those are our friends. Well, no. Last time, that was human. Those were humans that we released. These are our friends. These are hell's employees. We run hell. No, we don't need to have a battle out here on this plane. We don't need... Richie, can you get things under control? Would that be part of the trial for sin? If angels, if you win, will you impose sin on the people of Bessos? It's already imposed. I don't understand because no one's sinning. Remember? Oh, you're supposed to be on my legal team, and you're saying I've sinned enough for everyone. Oh, hilarious! I'm not even alive, so it's not possible. One, James. Okay, Richie, just please stop talking. Kim, please. Can we talk? What if we just continue this trial? Have you been watching the trial? Because I'm pretty sure someone else is watching it, Kim. And I don't think anyone wants anything. We don't need this to escalate. Because I was just in the middle of making the next level of my case. And then I'll turn things over to you and Richie to make your end of the case. How's that sound? And what if all you angels will have your chance to make an argument, and you'll all have a vote, just with, like, the people of Bessos. So, I have a plan, and I'm gonna, like, Jif, do you have a plan here? Excuse us, folks. Let me just walk over here with Jif. Jif, come on. Hey, Malik. Malik, me and Jif are gonna have to talk here. Hey, Mr. Penny, what's up? Hey, can you get a hold of, can you call Chiron to come pick you up? Yeah. Okay, because I have an idea. You have Mesmero and the other illusionists and wizards. Yes, okay. Remember, we're doing that, I think that show with a little bit more, like, we're still trying to get these people, remember we were talking, you and Malik? Oh, so you're thinking Mesmero. In a show. Well, it's either going to be that or a battle here on the plane between hell and angels. So I think the show. Okay, I got it. Chiron's coming. Chiron can read my mind. Oh, he already has Mesmero. Remember that other wizard? I think his name's California Gene. Oh, yeah. He's not a very good wizard. Well, he's an illusionist. And there's the illusionist Widow's Peak. So they're ready. I guess they already got the message from them. Okay. So it's cause see the cloud. There's the curtain. A curtain of dust is coming our way. Okay. So this ladies, Your Honor, could we call the court back into order? Yes, Mr. Penny, order in the court, by order of the judge, which it does not commute. You're right. This is quite confusing, but. Order in the court. Let's let the trial resume here. Okay, I'm James Cashpenny. I call. I'm going to make my final presentation. I'm going to ask the court for some leeway here because it'll be a little bit more of a dramatic presentation. And I'm going to turn it over to Mesmero, Widow's Peak. And whoever the other wizard is there. I forgot your name, sir. Mesmero, take it away. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I am Mesmero. I was actually a resident of James, but remember then I became an employee of Entertainer, Hellish Entertainer, a wizard extraordinaire, master of magic. And I'd like to thank everyone for gathering together tonight. I see we have a large audience of guests from everywhere around the universe. It's so impressive to be here to entertain you all with a little magic. What could bring us more together than being, and I'm quoting this angel, so please don't smote me, the victim of illusion. Now everyone is a... opportunity for entertainment and knowledge. I want to thank you for gathering. And I look to this wonderful audience here. and see if there are any of you wishing to volunteer. I see some hands in the air, so many hands in the air. Now, which of you, you could help me choose a volunteer. I'm trying to think of people here who are excellent eaters, who eats very fast. Who among you is the fastest eater? I know a lot of you know each other and spend time. Oh, yes, you, sir. Could you come up here? What's your name? Bert. Bert, good to meet you. And is there anyone else? Anyone else? Okay, you, ma'am, Lulu. Oh, you're not a fast eater. You're the fastest. Oh, you're a very fast mover. Okay, so that is excellent. So I just ask you to step up here to the front of the stage here. Everyone, I want you to welcome. Put your hands together for Bert and Lulu. Now, as you'll see, as the dust clears, you'll see this buffet table full of food here. Yes, it's steaming food. And is it real or is it an illusion? You'll find out, because I know I want you to be able to indulge in this food. And it's not just good food. Some of this food here is good for you. Because I know within the walls of your city, you're all responsible for making sure everyone stays fed and healthy. So we have vegetables and fruit. We have grains and we have proteins all here for your consumption. And I want you to just start and look over the buffet. And when I tell you to start, I want to see if you could eat fast. Because I don't think, I think this illusion will involve you not eating at all. Do you think I could stop you or anyone here? Could stop you from getting food in your mouth if you're so fast? Bert, no, absolutely not. You're looking at those rolls. And Lulu, no. Okay, well, why don't you go ahead? I'll count down 5, 4, 3, 2. Oh, I hear something calling. 1, go ahead. Oh, those are the harpies that just swooped down right as you were about to eat. They ate the whole buffet. They took it away. See, they're flying away. They're very fast. Those are the harpies. And, you know, then I guess because we release them on the world, they'll be chasing after the food within Bessos from here on out. Unless you think you could adapt a way to deal with them. Oh, boy, because they were pretty fast, weren't they? You're thinking about it now. Bert, did you almost eat a roll? No, not even close. You just had it in your hand and the harpy grabbed it. Well, that's okay. Thank you, everybody. A little applause for Bert and Lulu. Good job. Now you're going to see appearing in the dust behind me. My friend Widow's Peak here is presenting this. Does anybody know what these pipes look like or represent? Yes, a basic water filtration system. Very good. And as my friend Widow's Peak starts to turn it on, oh dear, it sprung a leak. You see that, is it so that you answered the question, what is your name? Mark, you've spent time in the water system, as everyone here in Bessos does, because it's critical for life. Yes, it seems that, do you think you could repair this pipe? It's a bad leak, but you could repair it. It looks like a standard. Yes, this is a standard Bessosian water filtration double backup. Yes, it's self-contained. Well, it's an illusion at the same time, but we know what we're doing here. So why don't you come up and start repairing it? No harpies are going to take your tools away. There's tools there. But we'll just step to the side. Do you think you could get this done quickly? Why? Because there's a minotaur charging at you. But don't try to pay attention to it. Just keep repairing your water. Oh, what? He just ran into another pot. So there's another leak. And now he's back. It's hard to concentrate with a minotaur charging, isn't it, Mark? Yeah, but you can repair it, Mark. Don't worry. Eventually we could design a maze and maybe put the water. Minotaurs aren't good at mazes or labyrinths. So maybe, Widow's Peak just distracted the Minotaur for a second, but it's winding back. Oh, you fixed the first leak, Mark. Good job. And Mark's moving on to the second leak as the Minotaur. Oh, it got Widow's Peak a little bit. Widow's Peak, did you get hit? No, you got out of the way. Oh, the Minotaur's charging at you, Mark, so duck under that. Oh, yeah, good. Oh, third leak. Oh, you fixed the second leak. And as Mark finishes the leak, Widowspeak send everybody applause for the Minotaur. And Mark just finished fixing the third leak. Applause for Mark. Good job, Mark. Yes, the only illusion there was Mark was never in danger for the Minotaur. Currently, he's a happy Minotaur, but you never know. 10 minutes from now, but the Minotaur is off in the distance. Now, how about someone, Richard Warren Sears, would you like to make a speech? No, you don't? Okay. Is someone in your community a good speaker? Okay, go ahead. What is your name? Oh, Malik, your GIF's son. And you have some poems to write about, you've written about your father. Okay, go ahead and stand up there, Malik, and go ahead and start speaking and trying to speak some sensible things about your father you've just seen for the first time. Lovely. And as Malik starts to speak, I want to introduce everyone. These are the Malabrancha, the curly beard. Yes, they're pretty repulsive creatures. They're bird-like, wild hog. This is Nasty Dragon, and this is Evil Tail, the leader. And they like to scratch things with their nail. Oh, is Malik's trying to read poetry? Malik, you're having trouble going on with that scratching sound they're making. Yes, that's very... Keep going, Malik. Oh, they're making fun. Okay, don't make fun of Malik, though. Just okay. Thank you, Wild Tail. Wild Hog, sorry, I'm performing. This is stressful. Okay, so that was just a little fun illusion. It was supposed to be funny, but the Evil Tail ruined it. Okay, thank you, gentlemen. Thank you. No applause for them needed, but a little applause for Malik and his poetry. Thank you, Malik. Now, we notice that, you know, that we never see defense systems for your Bessos, but you have those big walls. And we could only presume you have them, but as you see the centaurs coming in behind them, those are giants. And if you look at that mountain range in the distance there that they're heading towards, and you see that peak there, now we've determined that it's a safe distance from Bessos, but just watch that peak. Now you see those flaming dots, those are arrows, and it's melting the snow. And then that over there is an avalanche with the arrows of the centaur just triggered. So you see, they just caused it, and see how that is tumbling down that hill. Now, that's not a danger to your city, because it's far enough away. And I don't know if your walls could sustain that avalanche, or... But now the giants are running towards the avalanche. Oh, and they're stopping the avalanche. And they're doing a reverse avalanche, which isn't too dangerous till they get to the peak, and now they're making a giant, now they're making a more efficient avalanche. See that giant snowball there? That is actually double the mass of your entire city. Strange enough, but it's a perspective thing. And now they're rolling it down, and you're going to have an interesting experience of perspective, because that ball is going to eventually come towards us, so it's going to go from small and far away to smaller, to incredibly large, and then the illusion will conclude, and that will be our performance for the evening. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. As a giant snowball races towards us across the plain, whoa, will we be safe? Mr. James Cashpenny, I return the stage to you. Miss Morrow, that ball's still coming. Oh, it'll melt. That's the illusion, ladies and gentlemen. Water will return. See, it's melting. You ruined it, but that's fine. Okay, so I guess that's... it did melt eventually. That's the performance. I guess we've released these creatures on your world, Bessos, and... You know, I guess the case would be that these... It's good they're here on Earth now. And they're kind of friends with us, so I don't know. Now I see the centaurs running around a little bit. We should probably think about moving in into those walls, right? Ms. Morrow, I don't have a contract with them. No. I guess, or we could have the angels de-exist them, but I don't know. I'm just kidding, folks. It's just an illusion of right, Mesmer. Oh yes, they still answer to GIF. Yeah, Mr. Penny, they're not going to do anything right now. So, yeah, everyone just calm down. That was just it. So I rest my case now, I think, because Bezos could even withstand an onslaught from them, I assume. Or the people of Bezos, like Mark, and we could find a solution if that was the case, I think. Yeah, but yeah, I rest my case. So, Richie, maybe we could take a break and then you could start up. I'm not speaking to you, James, so I'll speak through Jeff. Court will be in recess for a few minutes while I try to process everything that's happened. Thank you, Your Honor. Well, that's it, everybody. Let's take a little breaky-poo. This is the narrator, and we'll be back next week with, but anyway, thanks for listening, and a few more thanks and good nights.
All right, everybody, this is Scooter. This is Weeks in Review, and this is where I run through my Weeks in Review stuff. What was on Sleep With Me Plus in the past month, and what you can expect to see on in the public feed too. Now I have if you sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, or you're already signed up for Sleep With Me Plus, I highly recommend using a podcast app that allows search within the feeds, but using just one podcast app for Sleep With Me Plus content only, and then keeping your other podcasts, your daytime podcasts, in whatever app you use now. And I would just check out a couple podcast apps you could choose from on Apple are Overcasts, iCatcher, Pocket Casts. And on Android, you could try out Pocket Casts or Podcast Addict. For this example, I have the only thing I have in my app is the Boar Friends level. I have four podcasts, the ad-free full episodes, the story-only episodes. Nothing in Sleep With Me Plus has ads except for the really old episodes in the archives. We got the story-only versions of the show, the all-intro, all-night versions of the show, and then the bonus episodes. So let's start with the bonus episodes, actually. So Saturday, a new Posty episode came out. It was one that Russell loved, and that came out, and that's in the bonus feed. You know, some people like listening to the Posty Super Deluxe episodes during the day. Some people sleep to them, and so that one is in the bonus feed. And then looks like we got a bonus coming out for Boar Besties and Boar Friends on Thursday of this week, which is April 15th when I'm recording this. And then we have another Posty Super Deluxe came out a couple weeks ago. That was a picnic lunch with Scooter. And that's in the bonus feed. And that makes just so much easier for those of you that don't like automate your playlist or anything, just to kind of build and choose how you want to listen. Let's pop into all intro, all night episodes. I know an all-intro episode is coming out this Thursday. Last Thursday was Make Great Pets Season 1 Part 2, almost 6 hours. It's about the max length we can get and have a good file size. So that was like 7 episodes of Make Great Pets. April 3rd, an all-intro episode came out. And then we had... March is at bonus episodes. So there was another all intro episode. So that's in the all intro all night feed. And again, like so much easier, like these all intros. Is that what everything that's in there? 277 episodes split between all in. So if you love all intros, I bet 200 of those are all intros, maybe even more. And then in the store, both in the story only episode feed and then in the all ad free feed. Let's run through the new episodes. Bring It On Week started last week. So we had 12:54 was our first watch along where I watched half of the movie Bring It On. Wednesday was 12:53, Ben Broughton, the Crayon Rambler. That was one of those episodes that had an intro that I said I should make an episode based on this intro. Went to make an episode based on the intro, and it went in an even another direction of what if there was an RPG game based on the movie Bring It On, which led me to figure out I never watched Bring It On. Let me learn more. Then I ended up watching Bring It On. Then April 7th was Alba Sabalik's, like, we're getting ready, big announcement, if I haven't made it anywhere. We're going to do 3 seasons of a crossover with Alba Sabalik. So that's cool. So that's something we're looking forward to doing. And that was episode 1 of that. Or that was the one we did originally. Then 12:52 was the finale of The Great British Bake Off. And episode 10. Then Multiplex 5, Tiki Transistor Hut. That was a good one. 12:50, one of my favorite episodes probably in the past few years, a Willy Wonka tour that came out of some news articles about the experience. And I said, this has got to be an episode. And that will be a series. I mean, like a recurring thing. Then Great British Bake Off, episode 9, Patissier. Then Multiplex episode 4. And then we're back to our last audio news. So it's everything. Again, if you ever need support, support@supercast.com is there to help you. Though if you're listening to this episode, I'm assuming you're not you don't need support. But if you do, and the other thing is this is my main way to communicate. I learned this on Patreon. Most people just don't read their emails from Supercast or from me, and most people aren't on our Discord or follow our social media. And so these messages are how the majority of supporters get their information. I do it in a sleepy voice because there's I put it at the end of the free show too. But this is a kind of key way, but these episodes are easy to skip, especially if you're just using one podcast app, right, and building your playlists from that podcast app. So, yeah, thanks, everybody, for supporting the show. Reach out if you have any feedback at sleepwithmepodcast.com. If you need support at supercast.com. And good night.